Hello, my name is Alex. I'm an alcoholic. Is it 15 minutes or 10? Okay, I'm going to do 10 minutes. My sobriety date is November 29, 2014. I have a sponsor, and this is my home group. I recently moved here from Miami in the last 6 months, which is why I have on a Hialeah hat. It's a very dear place. My story is not unique. I drank a lot. I did a lot of drugs. I ruined every relationship that was in my life. My family, God bless them. I don't know how they put up with me for as long as they did. But, I was never homeless. I never lost a wife, never lost a house, never lost a job. My bottom was very much emotional. And when I got sober, I remember sitting in the rooms of AA and hearing all of these crazy things of people ended up in jail I don't know how many times, people, driving drunk, DUIs, the list goes on, right? All the things that we hear in the rooms, and I just none of that stuff really ever happened to me. At the end of my drinking, I can promise you that there was not a day that went by without me wanting to kill myself or fantasizing about killing myself I used to sit around fantasizing who would be the most distraught at my funeral and who would come and I'd be dead, so it didn't matter. But this is the kinds of things I would think about, right? And I often would think about slamming my car into the side of the road, driving down the street, at the end I was just alone. It was very lonely. I was, I had drank myself into a hole pretty much. And, I used to, what my drinking looked like at the end, it was fun for a long time, right? Don't get me wrong. It was fun for a long time and it worked beautifully, until it just straight up just didn't work at all for me anymore. And, I wasn't going out anymore, and I wasn't really doing anything fun or with people at all. I pretty much would Friday nights would look like I would tell my mom, because I was living at home, of course. I was living at home, and I had dropped out of college, and I was living at home, and my family would my parents would go to work in the morning, and I would leave the house with them. And then we would all drive down the street, and then everyone would make separate turns, and then I would just bust a U-ey and go back home, and then just get messed up the whole day. And that went on for about 4 months or however long a semester is. And then they got I was supposed to be graduating, and then there was questions about why aren't you graduating, and then they get a letter in the mail that was addressed to me, but me and my dad have the same name, so they open the mail. And they're like, dude, I thought you were in school, and I just wasn't, I just stopped going. And, pretty much towards the end, I was just Friday nights, I would go to the Starbucks that's down the street from my parents' house and get high in the car watching Netflix, using the free Wi-Fi. That was Friday, and that was it. And Saturday was just putting up, being just as sober, being sober enough that my parents didn't think I had a problem with drinking, as if it was a secret at that point. Waiting till everyone went to sleep, and then just getting as drunk as I possibly could in my room, and then using my dry substance of choice, and pretty much doing that as often as I could, man. And I was working a shitty minimum wage job, and I don't know, I just complete, just spiritually bankrupt, just completely, right? Just no desire to live. And then I got arrested. I did get arrested a couple times. Luckily I never went to jail, which is kind of weird, but I got a couple written arrests for sure. Petitions to appear in court. And after the second one, man, it happened, it was kind of unlucky. Lucky now, looking back, but at the time I felt it was super unlucky. Just the rest of my life was super unlucky. And, I got arrested down the street from my parents' house, and they were coming home from dinner or something, and they see several cop cars around my car. And I drove a very distinctive car. I drove like a Subaru Outback that was like a specific blue, right? It's like a very bright color. You can't miss it. So they see my car, a bunch of cop cars. They both pull over. I'm in the back seat of the cop car, handcuffed, and I was just like, gazed through the front glass, and I could see my mom, and she like, we like caught eyes at that moment, and it was just like the most like heartbreaking, gut-wrenching feeling I've ever experienced. Like I've seen every look from like we're disappointed to like what is actually wrong with you, and like this was new, and I hadn't seen this look from her before, and I got let go from the cop car, and they gave me like a petition to appear in court, and my dad was driving me home, and the first thing I said when I got in the car was, I need help. And I don't know why I said that. I probably, if that situation happened 1,000 times again, I probably wouldn't say those words. But something, for some miracle or miraculous reason, that's what I said, and I got in, and I went to an outpatient treatment center. That's just my story. Like, you don't have to go to rehab or treatment to be an AA. Like, it's just my specific, very specific path. I went to an outpatient treatment center where I learned about Alcoholics Anonymous, and I went to a meeting. My first meeting was Miami Young People's group of AA, and some of you know about that group, some of you don't, but if you do know about that group, if you show up, you will be, basically, if you're new, like, they can tell that you're new, and if you show up and you're new, you're just gonna get, like, harassed and just, like, swarmed, and you won't be able to leave there without someone having your number, like, pretty much. Like, someone will have your number by the end of the night, and then they will call you. And I went, and I didn't relate to, I thought I didn't have a problem with drinking, and I thought it was just drugs were my problem, but, whatever. Eventually, I bought in. That's, like, the short of it, right? Eventually, I bought in. This guy who, like, got my number, like, called me, and he added me on Facebook, which I thought was super weird, and I was, like, the whole thing was very bizarre, right? And, but I was so alone and so in such pain that I really just, like, didn't even care anymore, right? Like, I was just, like, whatever. I asked this guy to sponsor me, and he took me through the 12 steps of AA, and thank God for that guy. He saved my life. We went through the steps, and it became very apparent that I had a role in everything that I thought was happening to me. I did not, like, as, when I was out, like, I was certain that, like, all of these things were happening to me. Like, everything was, like, everyone else's fault. It was always someone else's fault, bad luck, et cetera, right? But, like, having, like, gone through a four-step and a fifth-step, I was able to, like, it was almost like, it was painful. Don't get me wrong. Going through a four-step sucks, especially a fifth-step, at least in my experience. I did not feel good after that. I felt like I just told someone, like, every rotten thing I'd ever done or thought or experienced in my life, which is not a good feeling to revisit those things, right? But what it gave me was, like, tangible things that, like, I was able to, like, look at and see I had a part in, right? I wasn't as helpless as I thought I was, we went through the rest of the steps, man, and I started to really feel a part of after doing a 9-step. I was able to make some pretty major amends where needed. Specifically, my parents got amends, and my brother got amends, my sister got amends. Everyone pretty much was just like, we love you, we're happy you're doing good, just keep doing what you're doing. My mom wanted me to, like, to go and do, like, continued education, which I ended up doing later in my sobriety. And my sister was the only one who was just like, bro, like, I don't know what to tell you. She's like, just straight up, I don't know what to tell you, I will let you know. And then obviously, like, she's not ever gonna let me know, right? So that amends to me has been one of the most rewarding ones, because I've had to do, like, truly just a living amends, right? Like, I've just had to, like, show up and just not be a piece of shit. And I've not been perfect. I've done things in sobriety that have been harmful, of course, right? Like, we're not perfect, right? So, but, like, at least today, like, I have the opportunity to, like, be a better person and be in her life. And, she calls me and asks for my advice and talks to me about things that, like, she wouldn't talk to, like, my mom or dad or my other brother, or, it's like that relationship is kind of like surreal to me, you know. It's a gift, like that only exists because of AA, like literally only because of AA. And I don't know, man, I'm not alone anymore, you know. It's things have really my life is really looks a lot different today than it did, you know, back in 2014. You know, I've had the fellowship grow up around me like it promises. And yeah, man, I don't know. AA is weird, man. Something I've been thinking about lately, and I'll end with this, man. It's AA is kind of weird in that, like, you get what you put into it, right? Like, I remember, like, being new, and, like, even, like, for the first, like, 4 years of my sobriety, just going, like, dumb hard. Like, meetings every day, service commitments, calling new guys, just, like, crazy, crazy hard, right? Like, all the shit. And, you know, somewhere along the lines, like, I just, like, let up. You know, I was comfortable. I had made friends. I, you know, yada, yada, right? Fast forward a couple years, I move here. And now I'm, you know, I'm the new guy again. And I don't, like, being uncomfortable was not something that I was, like, familiar with anymore. And my life was really good. And so I was way less willing to, like, be uncomfortable on any level. You know, but over the last, like, 6 months or so, I've kind of just, like, different things have happened, and I've had to, like, I've basically been put in a position where, like, I have to reach out. Like, I have to do AA. Like the first time. Like, AA and the things that we're asked to do in here are not, like, it's not intuitive. It's not something, like, I think to, like, hey, you know what? I should probably call someone else and, like, ask them how they're doing. When, like, I'm literally only thinking about myself. But, like, that's what we're taught here, you know? And, you know, thank God that, like, my fallback is the tools that I've picked up along the way here. And, you know, sure, if it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for Alcoholics Anonymous, and it wasn't for the tools that you all have given me, you know, I don't know that I'd still be here today, you know, for sure not. So, I don't know. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.